Magandang gabi ho sa inyong lahat. Welcome uli sa Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako ang inyong lingkod, Pastor Alvin. Gusto ko lang po ulitin yung ibang mga announcements na nabanggit ni Pastor James. So, nauna ako sa lahat, ngayong darating ho na September 10th, magkakaroon po tayo ng prayer service at magaganap po ito sa Swiss Hotel ng 9 a.m. At susundan naman po ito ng 10:30, na ito ay pangungunahan ng ministry ng Crossroads Kids or Children's Ministry ng Crossroads. At ang pamagat ng kanilang meeting ay Open Day. Ayan, Open Day. Ito ay magandang pagkakataon na upang ipakilala ang gawain na ito. Makita kung paano ang hangarin ng bawat isa dito sa Crossroads ay magkapit-bisig upang sabay-sabay natin na palakihin sa tamang pagkakilala at takot sa Diyos ang ating mga kabataan. So, this is also a time that we would like to encourage many of you and even ating mga kabataan to join itong open day na ito for us to get to know about the ministry and how we are able to serve sa time na to. So, para kung meron kayong mga katanungan patungkol po dito, pwede nyo lamang sumangguni kay Michelle Maynes o kaya kay Edgy Lorbes. Merry Christmas, September 1. Napansin nyo ba na mga ilang araw bago sumapit ng September 1? Halos yung mga spam na natatanggap nyo sa WhatsApp, sa Facebook, sa Messenger, ano madalas yung makita? Oh, ilang araw na lang? Yan. Tapos syempre, nagpa-pop out yung ating kaibigan na Father of Christmas. Minsan kasama pa ng isang babae na si Mariah Carey, no? Kasama ni Jose Marichan. Pero mapapansin ko, bawat papalapit yung araw, meron panibagong meme na naman. May panibago laging pinapakita na malapit na ang September dahil ba sa ating mga Pilipino, as I speak, the Filipinos all over the world, ay marahil pinatutugtog ang awitin na yon. Christmas in our hearts. Ayan. Kasi sa kulturang Pilipino, maaga ho tayo mag-celebrate ng Pasko. There's this excitement, ilang araw na lang, September na, may anticipation, no? Na nangyayari sa atin. Minsan tayo pa'y nangunguna siguro sa pagsisend ng mga meme na yon. You know, there is another group of people who were waiting. Anticipating on something that is greater than Christmas in our hearts. Greater, more powerful, itong pag-aantay na ito will transform hearts and will transform lives. Itong inaantay ng grupo ng mga tao na ito will cause a transition in redemptive history. They are waiting on the Holy Spirit, the third person ng Trinity. We are now on our third week sa ating sermon series on the Book of Acts. Ang Book of Acts ay ang second volume ng libro ni Dr. Luke that focuses more on what Jesus continued to do and teach through His Spirit empowered witnesses. We have seen itong mga nakaraan na linggo that after Jesus' resurrection, He spent a 40-day course discipleship sa kanyang mga disciples about the kingdom of God. After He gave the great commission, ibinigyan niya ng instructions ang kanyang mga disciples na manatili sa Jerusalem for a few days, for He will be sending the Holy Spirit to them that will provide them power to be witnesses to the nations. After His ascension, they constantly gathered to pray, gathered to speak Scripture towards one another, gathered to fellowship, and they trusted God's sovereign timing sa pagdating nito. Ngayong gabi na ito, mahihinto na ang pag-aantay. The waiting is finally over. Kasi dito sa passage na ito, dumating na po ang banal na Espiritu. The promised Holy Spirit united and empowered the church to proclaim the gospel to all nations. The promised Holy Spirit united and empowered the church to proclaim the gospel to all nations. This 41 verses I divided into 3 points. Number one, the Spirit, verses 2, 1 to 13. Number two, the sermon, verses 14 to 36. And number three, the salvation, verses 37 to 41. The promised Spirit of God came in power at Pentecost, and because of that, Peter stood up and explained this phenomenal event and points his listeners to Jesus, and as a result, thousands were saved. Thousands were baptized. Thousands were added to the church. Number one, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. May 10 araw na since Jesus' ascension. At ang mga apostles at disciples si Jesus were continually gathering, praying, and waiting for the Holy Spirit sa isang bahay sa Jerusalem. Ang day ng Pentecost ay isa sa tatlong annual Jewish pilgrimage feast in which the nation of Israel was required to gather together in Jerusalem. So maraming mga tao sa lugar na ito, kasama ang mga iba't ibang lahi, ay mismo nagsistay sa Jerusalem, galing sa iba't ibang bahagi ng mundo. Pentecost means 50th. Itong araw na they commemorate ang 50th day after ng Passover, where they have received the law sa Mount Sinai. Ito din ang araw na they celebrate the harvest, which they call the Feast of Weeks or Feasts of Harvests, na kung saan they offer the first fruits of the harvest. That's why ang tawag din nila rin dito ay Day of First Fruits. It's during itong time na to that God fulfills His promise and sends the Holy Spirit. Tignan po natin ang verses 2 hanggang 4. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound. Let me read it again. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So verses 2 to 4, dumating na po ang pinangakong Holy Spirit. And He manifested in three different signs sa passage na ito. Sound, sight, speech. Unang-una, sound. Sabi sa verse 2, sound like a mighty rushing wind. So wala talagang hangin na nararamdaman po sa loob ng kwarto na to. Sounds like. Yun po ang sinasabi po nila. Wala naman natatangay na damit, wala naman lumilipad na mga kasangkapan. May naririnig lang sila na hangin. Para ang tunog niya ay parang humahagupit na hanging bagyo sa loob ng bahay. Pero wala naman nararamdaman, naririnig lamang. Now sa Hebrew at saka Greek, ang salitang spirit ay mari pwedeng, it can mean either wind or breath. Sa Ezekiel 37, 9-10, inahalintulad ang Holy Spirit as a breath of air na nagbigay ng buhay sa isang patay na bangkay. At gaya ng consecrate ng Holy Spirit ang temple sa Old Testament, sa time na ito, He now consecrates a new temple, His people, na nagkonsaan na He rested. So that was a sound. Bukod sa sound, mayroon naman sila nakita, which is a sight. Ang sabi sa verse 3, nakita nila what seems to look like tongues of fire. Hindi siya literal na apoy. wala naman nasunog sa loob ng bahay o kaya naman napaso nung dumapo sa kanila yung mga images na ito o yung mga bagay na ito o figure. Pero fire sa Old Testament ay kadalasan ay sign of God's presence with His people. Gaya ng burning bush nung kinausap niya si Moses, or ang pillar of fire sa wilderness wandering ng mga Israelites, or smoke and fire when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments or the law, o kaya naman sa 1 Kings 6-8, yung tabernacle at temple, ganun din. Kadalasan sa Old Testament, yung mga national leaders or those who God specifically chooses for a specific task ay nakapagkakalooban ng privilege to be filled by the Spirit. Sa Old Testament po yun. Pero dito lang po nangyari na nung dumating si Kristo, He brought His new kingdom and covenant, and now, at Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord rested on His people. Dati mga hari, mga leaders, mga selected few lang, ngayon sa Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, sa kwarto na ito, dun ho nag-rest ang Holy Spirit sa mga anak ng Diyos. Pero nung ang malaapoy na entity na ito, ang sabi raw, ang description ay parang hugis, dila. No? Parang tongues of fire. So, which is very appropriate kasi yung kasunod po na sign is speech. So, ang signs are sounds, sight, and speech. Sabi sa verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now, may mga kakilala marahil tayo, mga kaibigan, na nagsasabi na they speak in tongues and claim na ang mga words that they utter ay angelic or heavenly. Kaya siguro mahirap ito maintindihan kapag sinasalita. At ang kadalasan ng kanilang mga proof text o pinupuntahan na passage ay mismo itong Acts chapter 2. Pero unknown language ba talaga yung mga nabigkas ng mga tao sa loob ng kwarto na ito noong nangyari sa Pentecost? Tignan po natin ang sagot sa verse 5 at 6. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Ang Jerusalem po ay isang cosmopolitan city. In short, marami po mga tao from different parts of the world ang nakatira o dumadaan ho doon. Now, for centuries, ang mga Jews ay dispersed sa iba't ibang bansa. Sila po ay tinatawag ng mga diaspora. Maaring yung iba ay pinanganak na o lumaki na ron sa ibang bansa. Maaring natutunan na ang kultura at lingwahe. At tuwing may mga feast na Jewish feast po ng ganito, ay lahat sila ay nag-uuwian papunta sa Jerusalem, gaya po ng event na ito na Pentecost. So, kaya nung time na nadinig, it was suspect, we're not really sure kung yung same house po ng upper room, yung kaganapan ng Pentecost. But what we do know is yung lugar na po na yun ay madaling puntahan at marahil ay malapit po sa temple dahil mga tao ay busy. Mabisi ang mga tao ron, madaling puntahan. So kaya nung time na natinig ng mga tao, ang mga disciples ni Jesus sa loob ng isang bahay na nag-speaking in tongues, ang reaction sa verse 6 at verse 7 is this: bewildered, amazed, and astonished. Namangha sila hindi dahil sa nadinig nila ang angelic or heavenly language. Kung hindi, namangha sila kasi they heard a familiar language. A foreign language na alam nila. These were known and even existing languages. Nabanggit ho yan sa listahan ng verses 9 to 11. Yung po lahat ng mga lingwahe ng mga lahi na sinasalita nila. Pero alam nyo ba kung saan talaga namangha ang mga tao? Verse 7 and 8. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that that we hear each of us in his own native language?" dito po sila medyo namangha talaga. Bakit? Kasi ang mga Galileans, nung time na yon po, ay kilala or known to be uneducated. Kadalasan, ang mga trabaho po ay hard labor. Mangingisda, karpintero. Kilala sila na may makapal na accent. Kaya madalas minsan, napipick up ng mga tao, uy, taga-Galilean, ang kapal ng punto. Kitang-kita ang punto. O dinig na dinig. They did not expect na itong diverse linguistic ability ay manggagaling po sa mga Galileans. At ang sabi nila sa verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. One side application po para sa ating lahat na nandito. And I want this to sit deep sa ating hearts at saka minds. God used Galileans. God used Galileans. Mga tao na ang tingin ng karamihan ay walang pinag-aralan, walang alam, mga mangmang, mahihirap, at marahil madalas pagkatuwaan sa kwentuhan. God chose to put His Spirit on the Galileans. That same powerful Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that gave them life, that Spirit that empowered them to proclaim the excellencies of Christ to the people, to the nations, ay mismo ginamit ang Panginoon ay Galileans. Sa aking pag-aaral sa salita ng Diyos at sa madalas kong naobserban sa gawain over the years, ang madalas pong gamitin, and I'm not saying always, so sinasabi ko madalas, ang madalas gamitin po ng Panginoon ay ang mga taong weak, lowly, or what the world would consider the weak and foolish things of this world. Paul tells us about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and 29. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame that is wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world and even the things that are not to bring to nothing that are and that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Ito po yung dahilan, so that no one would boast sa Kanya. Gusto ko sana magbigay ng encouragement sa bawat isa sa atin na nandito ngayong gabi. I'd like to encourage us na pag-isipan ito, itong part na ito, itong passage na ito, pag-isipan mo ito, pagpasok mo sa trabaho. I want you to think about this as you head back, young people, to school. O tuwing makikipagkita ka sa mga kaibigan o kamag-anak mo na kunsang kadalasan sa reunion. Maaring ang mundo ay mababa o mahina ang tingin sa atin dahil sa ating trabaho o dahil sa posisyon natin sa trabaho. O kaya naman sa ating angkin na talino o kakayanan, kahinaan, itsura na ating pangangatawan o maaring sa ating mga nakaraan. Friends, kung ano man ang tingin ng mundo sa atin, it does not matter. Kung ikaw ay tunay na anak ng Diyos, God's Spirit, the powerful Spirit of God is in you. Remember, God's Spirit is in us. He is able to strengthen us in times of weakness, causing us to persevere when we feel that we want to give up, allowing us to find ways of escape, and even strengthen us to fight when sin and temptation is there. He sustains us and uses us, gaya ng paggamit niya sa mga Galileans, in proclaiming Christ and making Him look glorious. God deserves all the honor and glory sa ating buhay. So I hope na hindi maging excuse sa atin ang ating mga limitations, ang ating mga kahinaan, ang ating nakaraan, ang ating itsura in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ and making Him look glorious. This is what God desires, that we give Him honor and glory that He deserves. Simula pa naman nung una, hangarin na ng Panginoon na pag-isahin ang mga tao from different places and races to proclaim and display His glory. Mula pa kay Adam hanggang kay Noah, ang command ng Panginoon is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. As image bearers, they were to display an image, God's image, and rule to the watching world. Kaso pagdating sa Genesis chapter 11, ginamit ng mga taong kanilang God-gifted creativity, ingenuity, unity, language, hindi to honor and glorify God, kung hindi upang gumawa ng isang mataas na tore upang abutin ang Diyos. Kasi they want to be like God. And so they become the gods of their lives and disobey God's word to fill the earth. They're rebellious. Dahil sa kanilang rebellion, God punished them not by taking their construction tools. Hindi kinuha ng Panginoon ang kanilang mga martilyo, kanilang mga lagare, pako. Ang ginawa ng Panginoon, kinuha yung kanilang language. From one language to multiple languages. Confusing their language, ang term. He divided and scattered them throughout the world. Sa paraan na ito, the world was filled with God's people. Among the nations, He chose one people group, Israel, to proclaim and to display His glory to all nations. Ang problema po, Israel failed. And so prophets prophesied na darating ang isang araw that the Lord will once again unite His people from all nations to praise Him. So God sent His Son, Jesus, who perfectly met the Father's perfect standards. He perfectly glorified the Father through His life and death on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected on the third day. And before He ascended, sa ating mga inaral nung mga nakaraan, He promised that He would send the Holy Spirit that would unite His people and would live and proclaim His excellencies among the nations. That was it. Sa Babel event, sa Tower of Babel event, humanity tries to ascend to reach God. Sa Pentecost event, God descended and reached humanity. Sa Babel event, God dispersed humanity to the ends of the earth by causing diversity in the human language. Sa Pentecost event, God united everyone sa Jerusalem as the Holy Spirit was poured out to all. Everyone heard the gospel in their own languages and made them one body. And now they were once again dispersed or scattered to the ends of the earth in order to use each of their languages to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ. Ang difference lang po neto is, hindi ginawa ng Panginoon ng isang language yung mga tao, yung mga anak niya. Nanatili po yung mga iba-ibang languages. In order, yung mga languages na yun, which represents nations, ay makarating po ang gospel. And that God would gather His people to glorify His name. 12 years ago, in interview po ako ni Dave Furman, and he asked me kung anong plano ko after ng 10 months pastoral internship sa Redeemer. At ang sabi ko, mag-plant ng church that will preach, teach, and disciple in our heart language. Dave got excited kasi sabi niya, he was dreaming and desiring and praying na ang Redeemer ay maging springboard or launchpad to plant churches of diverse languages. Urdu. I still remember that. I mean, I want to see an Urdu church, a Hindi church, an Arabic church, a Tagalog church. Even before we met, he was praying because he had in his heart and mind Acts chapter 2 to see the gospel spread out to the nations. Friends, Crossroads, this should be our hearts. Ito dapat ang puso po natin. That we would not just see ang ating mga kababayan to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, but also to reach the nations by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, na kung saan lahat kayo ay may access. Meron po kayong access sa nations, sa kung saan kami mga full-time pastors ay wala. So I pray, as the Lord has opened opportunities sa inyo, sa nations, lalong lumalim po yung desire and yung burden na yan na i-share yung gospel sa ating mga kasamahan sa trabaho. Of course, kailangan din makita sa ating life what Christianity looks like. We need to live a life that would adorn the gospel. But the gospel is a message that needs to be preached or proclaimed. So pray also, search your heart. Maybe nagpo-procrastinate ba tayo? Talaga ba nag-aantay tayo ng timing? Or maybe it's because there are other reasons why we're not proclaiming. Pray for that timing. Pray for wisdom. Ask your community group that will meet next week to give them names na mga gusto nyo ipag-pray na kasamahan nyo sa trabaho or sa school, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We pray for the nations, but also, as Crossroads, we also want to pray for those who speak our language. We want to reach out ang ating mga kababayan din. Ang Pilipinas po, if I have the updated numbers, meron 120 to 175 different dialects across the region. At ang ating congregation represents different dialects from different regions, tribes ng ating bansa. Okay? Now, just to throw this out there, no? Have you ever considered reaching out to proclaim Christ's excellencies sa inyong mga kababayan dito sa Dubai? Kababayan na kung saan whom you share the same dialect. As we plan and pray to reach more Filipinos sa Dubai, pwede nyo bang isama sa prayer ninyo to even start an outreach study, outreach na kung saan even to a dialect-specific group. Of course, Christ came and destroyed the wall of division or hostility among the nations, at dapat ganun din tayo. Our ating unity is not unity because of other commonalities kagaya ng language or likes. Our unity is in the gospel. We understand that. But we also want to reach those na wala pa sa Panginoon. And if the means for us to do that is to speak our dialects, to start an outreach Bible study, would not that be a great and awesome thing? Opening your Bible, sharing the gospel sa inyong dialekto, Kapampangan man, Bisaya, Ilocano, Ilonggo. Okay, I'm going to offend a few people here. Hanggang doon lang ilistahan ko. Alright, Tagalog. Why don't we start reaching out sa mga kababayan din natin? On top of reaching out the nations. Yung dito lang is medyo intentional. O maaaring nandito ka ngayon at isa ka sa grupo na ito, madalas ka nang umaattend sa Crossroads, or maybe it's your first time to attend, welcome. Maybe you are in this passage, you are a person who is doubtful about Christianity, doubtful about the gospel. Well, it says here, so verse 13, but others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Kung nandito ka ngayon and you are investigating kung ano ang ibig sabihin ng born again, kung ano ba ang itsura ng born again, paano ba maging born again, matagal ka nang nakikinig ng gospel marahil sa ibang church or sa ibang lugar o maaaring dito sa Crossroads, pero nagdududa ka pa rin, I'd like to challenge you and at the same time urge you. I urge you to not just know the doctrine of the gospel, but try to know the people of the gospel in this congregation. Observe their lives. Try to get to know them. Ask them how they came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How He miraculously transformed them. Ang milagro, mga kaibigan, ang milagro po ng Pentecost ay nandito sa kwarto na ito. Kailangan mo lang alamin kung paano nangyari itong milagro na ito sa buhay ng bawat isa. Because it's always a miracle when someone is taken out from darkness and placed to His marvelous light. It's always a miracle when one comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and being transformed daily. And what best time to do this? Ang question? Then mamaya punta ko kayo ng Merienda Fellowship. This is a wonderful opportunity to get to know these beautiful people that I get to know, a lot of them personally. Know how the transforming power of the Holy Spirit worked sa life nila. And so this is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Pero minsan miracles are still not enough. Kahit gaano pa ito ka-extraordinary para mapaniwala ang ibang tao. Kasi nakikita natin yan dito sa verse na ito, di ba? Milagro na isang kababalaghan na inakita nila pero hindi pa rin sila naniniwala. People are still skeptical about God's work in people's lives. And what better way to explain the work of God than by the preaching of the Word of God? Which is yung second point po natin. The sermon. Sa panahon natin noon, no, maraming mga tao ay may unhealthy focus sa mga miraculous signs and wonders at tongues. Which tells us na ito ay ultimately na hindi ito yung point. Kasi yung mga signs and wonders na ito, kailangan ho i-interpret. Yun po yung biblical approach pagdating ho sa gifts na ito. There's a speaking in tongues, there's prophecy, there should be people who are interpreting it. So in this phenomenon, there were wide array, various languages, and Peter comes and interprets it, which is a sermon, yeah. Verses 14 to 15. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." Kung mapapansin niyo po yung text, ang mga nagulat talaga at nabagabag ang mga galing sa labas at hindi yung mga nasa loob nung dumating yung banal na Espiritu. Kasi yung 120 disciples at were really expecting a sort of phenomenon from the Holy Spirit. Again, Scripture-saturated Peter came up, or he was already standing, he started to speak and explain kung ano yung nangyayaring ito. At nasa lahat, kung mapapansin po natin, kinlarify niya, una-una sa lahat, na hindi lasing ang mga tao na ito. Yun yung unang kinlarify niya. And then Peter quotes, by the way, it's just 9 o'clock, yun ang sinasabi niya. Alas 9 pa lang ng umaga, so hindi talaga itong umino, hindi pa sila umino, hindi rin sila lasing. Then Peter quotes Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 to 32, sa verses 16 to 21. To further clarify the miraculous. Basahin po natin yung 16 to 21. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ang sinasabi ni Peter dito sa part ng kanyang sermon sa kanyang listeners na ang propetang Joel foretold na isang araw magkakaroon ng powerful downpour ang Holy Spirit sa mga Israelites. At magiging blessing ito dahil mag-overflow itong blessing nito to other nations. So yun ang sinasabi niya. Peter is saying na ang prophecy na to ay ang currently na we witness ninyo. So that's what he's saying. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Na kung mabasahin niyo yung verses 16 to 18, hindi sinasabi ni Peter na lahat ng mga mananampalataya gaya ng mga propeta ay may mga gifts of prophecy or tongues. And we can see that and compare that to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Ang sinasabi ni Peter ay lahat ng mga mananampalataya gaya ng mga prophets ay may mga privilege at saka responsibility. Ang mga prophets have the privilege of knowing God through Old Testament, through dreams and visions. And the responsibility to proclaim His Word faithfully. Tayo naman, we get to have an intimate relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who also entrusted us to proclaim His Gospel. Some say ng mga signs in heaven, so verses 19 hanggang 20, gaya ng araw ay, na kung saan yung didilim daw yung araw, tapos yung buwan magkukulay dugo. Some believe na nangyari na raw to nung pinako si Jesus Christ, nakapako si Jesus Christ sa cross during His dark hours as He suffered, nangyari na raw yun doon. Samantalang iba naman sinasabi, mangyayari pa lang ito sa pagbalik ni Jesus Christ to judge the peoples. So we're not really sure which one of them. But one thing is for sure, ang sinasabi ni Peter, now is the day of salvation. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe some of you are asking, Pastor, saan ako kailangan ma-save? Saan ako kailangan ma-save? Well, if you do not have an intimate relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, I'm going to give it to you. You need saving. You need saving. So saved from what? Well, it's definitely not from anyone, not from your circumstances. Save you not from angels, not even demons. You are up against a much greater enemy. Again, if you do not have a relationship with God, you are up against a greater enemy. You need to be saved from God, lalo na sa parating niyang judgment. The Bible tells us na kapag hindi ka kaibigan o anak ng Diyos, ikaw ay anak ng Diablo at kaaway ng Diyos. Tayo ay nilikha ayon sa wangis ng Diyos or image of God at ang layunin natin ay bigyan siya ng kaluwalhatian. Ang problema, we seek to glorify ourselves, meet our own desires, and always seek ways na kung saan itaas ang ating mga sarili. As a result, we will face God's judgment as enemies. Hindi natin kaya iligtas ang ating mga sarili. Wala tayong kayang gawin upang iligtas ang ating sarili. At the same time, wala rin tayong kakayanan iligtas ang mga mahal natin sa buhay. We need God's saving grace. But God is gracious and merciful. He did not treat us our sins deserve. He sent the way for us to be saved. Pinadala niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak si Jesus to save sinners from their sins and to bless them eternally. Now, that is the gospel message. Now, kung titignan po natin ang verses 22 hanggang 36, ito po ang nilalaman ng sermon ni Peter, na kung saan ang sermon niya ay naka-center kay Christ. Yung Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and ascension. Doon po umiikot yung message na ito. Let me chop that down for us ngayong gabi. First of all, the person and life of Jesus. Verse 22, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Parang sinasabi ni Peter dito ay, alam niyo na kung sino sinasabi kong si Jesus. He was talking to them as people who had seen his miraculous works, na kung saan narinig na ang kanyang mga preaching. People probably at one point followed Jesus, kasama siguro sila sa crowd before, kasi kamakailan lang to eh. Probably they were healed by Jesus. Maybe isa sila sa mga sumisigaw, Hosanna to the highest! And maybe isa rin sila sa mga sasabi, crucify him! So hindi niya dinedepensahan ang historicity ni Jesus dito, kasi he assumes, alam nila kung sino yung tinutukoy niya. He was telling them, you know that he was faultless. You know he was compassionate, a teacher of God's word, a wonder miracle worker from God. Jesus' teachings and claims are validated by signs and wonders. You know this. And from reminding him who he is and what he has done, he now turns yung kanyang sermon to the crowd to tell them who they are and what they have done, which is death of the Christ. Verse 23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Peter described kung paano nila pinatay si Jesus Christ, na kung saan nakasama sila sa pagpako ni Kristo sa krus. Isang pinakamalupit na paraan ng public execution. Painful and humiliating. It's unimaginable. And the Jews believe that those who are hanged on a tree are cursed by God. The sinless, spotless Son of God was suffering on the cross. At sino ang responsible sa krimen na ito? Sino? Ito, sabi ni Peter, kayo! Kayo ang responsible dito. Kayong mga nakikinig ngayon. Medyo mabigat yun, ano? Naging bahagi kayo sa pag-crucify kay Jesus. But Peter also mentioned na pinlano rin ito ng Diyos. Kasi pinrapisay ni Isaiah ito eh. 53 verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Why would God ordain such activity? Peter didn't tell us, but Paul did. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ito ang demonstration of God's love for us and the vindication of his justice. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He said, he himself, 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus died as our substitute. But ang good news na ito is this, hindi siya nanatiling patay. Hindi siya nanatiling nakalibing. Kasi third, he was resurrected. Verse 24 at 25 hanggang 28. Peter quotes dito one of David's Psalms, sa Psalm 16, verses 8 hanggang 11. Ang sinasabi niya, God will not let his Holy One na maagnas sa libingan. Okay? So, ang tanong dito, sino yung tinutukoy ni David sa psalm na ito? Tinutukoy ba ni David ang sarili niya? Tingnan natin sa verse 29. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of that we all are witnesses. Ang sinasabi po ni Peter dito, that he's not talking about David. David is not talking about himself sa psalm na ito. Because si David ay nanatiling patay at nakalibing. But God raised Jesus from it, so he's talking about Jesus dito. So Peter is using the psalm to tell them, it was Jesus, David was prophesying about Jesus. That God raised him from the dead. Again, he's not arguing na may resurrection from the dead. Kasi alam na ng tao na wala yung bangkay ni Jesus sa mismong libingan. Marahil kumalat sa buong Jerusalem, ay wala raw si Jesus, gumulong daw yung bato. Ah. Silipin niya na, siguro maraming dumayo ron sa libingan niya. Oo nga, wala. Eh baka nga nabuhay, baka naman dinampot ng mga disciples para sabihin lang nabuhay. Pero here he goes. Hindi totoo yung chismes. God raised him from the dead. An evidence ng signs is he was risen from the grave. Kaya yung mga signs nito, yun ang ibig sabihin nun. And because that he has risen from the grave, he ascended to heaven, which is yung fourth. You can read from verses 33 hanggang verses 36 as he talks about his ascension. So, sino ang responsable sa loud rushing wind? Sino, ito na yung sinasabi ni Peter. No, he's coming to his point. Sino ang responsible sa loud rushing wind? Sino ang responsible sa tongues of fire? Sino ang responsible of speaking different languages? Si Jesus. Si Jesus. Kasi when He ascended, He sent the Holy Spirit. That's why may mga ganitong klaseng utterance. Jesus now is seated at the right of the Father. He's now enthroned and He's reigning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's the one responsible for sending the Holy Spirit that you are witnessing right now. Now here's the thing. You know? So He preached this powerful sermon. Okay? Preached it. I could have imagined na kung saan silent lahat sila. Because these are current events. Peter interpreting it through Old Testament scriptures. And malamang maraming aha moment sa kanila. Na shock siguro sila narinig na ito. Now, imagine this. Ilagay mo ang sarili mo sa katayuan nila. If nauunawaan mo na si Jesus ang King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is reigning on high, who is the ruler of all the cosmos, at marahil nauunawaan mo din na ikaw ay responsable sa pagkapako niya sa krus, ano magiging response mo? Well, let's see. Number three and last. Salvation. 37 to 40. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words, He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Now, naunawaan nila that they needed saving. They need to be saved. Naunawaan nila. Now they understand. Because they have sinned against a glorious, righteous God. And God's wrath remains on them. But instead of God judging them right there, He didn't treat them as their sins deserve, as mentioned kanina. But God granted them mercy and grace. How? Grace. Grace ang nakarating sila sa Jerusalem nung time na yon. Grace na nakarinig sila mismo ng mga different tongues sa bahay na ito. It was grace na napakinggan nila yung sermon ni Peter. It was grace that God opened their hearts and gifted them the gift of repentance and faith in Christ. Friends, for those of us who've been hearing the gospel over and over and over again, yung decision of trusting Him is on you. If you have not trusted Christ as Lord and Messiah and Savior, I would like to extend that invitation to repent from your sins and turn to our glorious Savior and what He has done on that cross. Brothers and sisters, kung mapapansin ninyo, Peter did not preach a kind gospel. Peter did not preach isang malabnaw and sugar-coated na gospel. Friends, let us trust the sufficiency of the gospel to lead people to a saving knowledge kay Jesus Christ. We must preach the gospel the way it is. And I love yung there's a sweet part dito na nagustuhan ko, ano? Kasi the promise is anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And maybe you are already a brother and sister in Christ and you are enjoying yung pagiging Christian. Praise God. Pero here's the sweet part na gusto ko sa promise. For the promise is for you, praise God, hindi lang yun, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Kasama family natin. We pray that the Spirit would open their hearts as the gospel is faithfully declared and preached sa ating mga labi. We pray and long for our mothers and fathers and grandparents, titos and titas and siblings and spouse and children to come to Christ for salvation. That is our prayer. That is our hope. At dahil sa faithful preaching ng gospel na ito, verse 41 tells us that 3,000 were added to the church. Well, that's the first megachurch. 3,000. 3,000 were baptized. Amazing. We have seen how the Spirit of God transforms dead corpse to a living church. Ito yung pangyayari sa Acts chapter 2. Pentecost was a feast of the harvest. Tama po yun. That's why they celebrate it. But it also marks the harvest of 3,000 souls. The promised Holy Spirit united and empowered the church to proclaim the gospel to all nations. Crossroads, may this be our prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Salamat, Panginoon, for calling us to yourself. For we know we do not have the ability to save ourselves. Well, thank you for the faithful preaching of your word na nakarating sa aming tenga and ginamit po ninyo yon to transform our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would do the same sa mga mahal namin sa buhay, sa mga kasamaan po namin sa trabaho, sa mga taong nakakasama namin araw-araw. May this desire go deeper sa aming mga hearts, that we will be trusting you as we provide utterance sa mga tao na ito. Lord, we have seen the power of the Holy Spirit through Peter as he preaches a powerful gospel. So I pray for my brothers and sisters dito, Lord, as they go out tomorrow, that they would trust your Spirit and trust your word as they utter this powerful gospel. And as a church, ang prayer po namin, that you would use this church dito sa Dubai, at least a small part in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and making your church look glorious, the church would look glorious for your sake. I pray, Panginoon, that Crossroads would adorn Christ, whether dito sa DEC or sa DERA or sa mga members na uuwi sa Pilipinas at kung saan man kami dumako. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Jesus. Amen.